All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
I'll explain, and I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I make this look good.
You are now listening
to the Movie Review Crew podcast.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Welcome in, everybody. This is another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Steve Rushlaw.
How's it going?
And Aaron Kronikin.
Hello.
We have another episode for you guys. Quarantine episode. Captain's log. Day.
Star date.
Yeah, star date.
27, 2020.
So it's going well. I don't think the world doesn't seem like it's as much on fire as it did from March through July.
Yeah, but now the world is, I mean, half literally, of the country is literally on fire. So there's that.
Did you guys ever see the, this was probably back in March, but some comedian made a video of talking to myself in the future. And it was like December 2019. And it was like, hey, you are going to want to get in the best physical shape of your life. Because she's like talking to herself. It's like, get those lungs, you know, really nice and strong. And there's like, there's going to be a really defining moment of probably the next 10 years. Oh, the Australian wildfires?
Yeah. Like, no.
You
worse
would think,
than that.
But no. I kind of forgot about those.
I've seen one where it's memes. It's like a time traveler comes in. He's like, oh, are you two the aliens yet? And the person's like, aliens?
Dude, just wait. I saw a meme this morning, actually, and it was October 2020, and it was the Eiffel Tower, but it had the Eye of Sauron.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, just wait. But no, so things are looking up. Hopefully, you know, there are brighter things to come. I'm trying to be more positive. 2020 has really sucked the life out of me. So here we are.
One thing I wanted to throw real quick, since the last time I'd been on, the Alamo has effectively closed.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see this.
This was just Thursday, Friday. I saw something on Facebook. They said they were effectively closing and giving refunds back for anything that people had pre-ordered. Obviously, didn't get enough people coming to the theaters in the
to support it.
3 weeks it was open, if that.
So they're not going bankrupt. They're just closing for the interim.
Yeah, they just said closing effectively. I just didn't think there was enough people that wanted to go to the theaters. I mean, the Alamo's nationwide, so I don't think they're going to have issues. But
you can tell they're hurt. All the
all of them are.
All the movies are getting pushed back still, yeah. And you see the ads everywhere. They're really still trying to push Tenet. Every preview is like, oh, the blockbusters are back. Go to your theater now. It's, nobody wants to. They're bigger issues right now, I think.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Oscars and if.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a large chunk of people that don't see most of the artsy Oscar movies anyways, and now there's going to be fewer opportunities. Or maybe more if they actually release them to streaming sites.
A guy at work, he asked a question to me. He's like, when are movie companies going to just bypass theaters? And he's like, why haven't they yet? And I pretty much went with, I think with theaters, they make so much money with like box office and concessions, I don't think they'll ever get rid of them entirely.
No, I think there is a trend, though, that starting to, but not for the big budget movies that they spend $1 billion making. They got to try to get their money back somehow.
And
you see there's different ways of, I mean, people are, streaming services are experimenting, like Amazon with their at-home releases for theater releases where you just pay a little extra, like the price of a ticket to rent it. Disney's disaster with Mulan. Obviously, they probably won't be trying that again. But.
Oh, yeah. And then I told him, I was like, take the Scooby-Doo movie that came out. It came out for $20. I mean, you're getting $20 per household instead of 40-some dollars a household if a family of four is going to the theater. So I was like...
40. You're probably talking 80.
Well, I'm just talking about tickets in general, because I think the last time I... Because I go mostly on Tuesdays where it's like $5, but for the most part, tickets are what, 11, 12 bucks a pop? I mean, that's 40.
I think if you go to like an evening show, I think it's like up to 15 or 20.
Dude. Really?
Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I
remember the last time I spent more than the $5 Tuesday.
Actually, I think when we went to go see, I mean, and this was a special feature at Alamo, we went and saw Tremors. And this was like the last week before everything just like turned to hell and shut down. I think we paid, it was either $12 or $15 a ticket.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And, sorry, but I got a keychain out of it, so worth it.
Makes it all worth it. Uh-huh.
Yep. Sorry, Mike, I kind of jumped in front of you there. No,
totally fine. I a lot of industries are hurting, man.
Oh, yeah.
Before all this, I was doing improv comedy on the side at just a small local theater, man. And they shut down. They were going to open up in June. And they were like, no, things are just getting worse. They were going to open up in August. And then like a week later, the mask mandate came out and they were like, well, we're just going to put it off, see how this goes. And so they've effectively opened up last November, had 4 months runtime. And then they've been closed for the last six, 7 months. So, I mean, thankfully they're a nonprofit. So I think that the property owner is like, hey, just, you know, do your thing for now. But dude, I can't imagine what performance businesses like that are doing.
Yeah, no, especially that rely on people. Like there is no way to adapt to the environment for something like that. You can't, you know, for restaurants or for businesses like that, you can try to adapt and do delivery and take out, and but there's no way to adapt for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, on a more positive note, just to again support local, with the quarantine and people being stuck at home and trying to find things to do, more and more people are turning to board games. And this ties into the podcast. Why? An Omaha designer created a board game about movies called That's a Wrap. And the Kickstarter just finished. That's out for delivery. I think I'm expecting it to arrive today. And it's a game about drafting and paying for... you pick your genre. You try to get your actors. You get your producers, your scripts. And whoever gets the most points... by like the combination of cards gets you money earned and award nominations, and it's seems like a fun idea. I can't say I haven't played it, obviously it's not here yet, but can't say whether it's a good game or not, but it's a fun idea, so I backed it, and the guy that created it's from Omaha. So
nice.
If you're looking for a game and you like movies, it sounds like a fun, quick easy game.
That looks pretty fun.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to do a shameless plug for myself real quick.
So go
Hear me out. So you said this, and it kind of reminded me of it. You said more people are turning to board games. More people are also turning to streaming. They either are streaming or they are watching streams because it's like live content for free. Twitch has grown like 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And they already had a user base of like 6 million viewers or something like that. So think about that. 20% of that, it's like... at least 7, you know?
Well, and just think of that's two sides of the same coin then from all of what's happening. It's like some industries are hurting, then you get the industries that are really making bank with what's going on. It's like, oh, people can't go anywhere.
Amazon.
Try Twitch.
Amazon and Zoom have grown like 300%.
Yep.
It's insane.
If you look at it, things like Twitch and TikTok, people can...
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's people on TikTok that are literally full-time content producers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's insane.
People are willing to give money for Twitch, TikTok, whatever.
Oh, right. Like,
people are desperate for entertainment at this point.
Well, even that, but like, hey, you have 500,000 followers, endorse this product. And it's like,
yeah,
all right. It's dude, it's wild. So yeah, I mean, people are looking for different things. So I think if this goes back to the movie companies, like if they can adapt to newer trends and find what people want, there is a market for it, because I think people are, you know, thirsty and starving for content. So
yep. Interesting times.
Yeah, very interesting. Is there anything that has happened in the movie world? Did someone pass that wasn't the RGB?
Well, we talked about Chadwick Boseman the last episode.
I want to say that there was someone else.
Yes, I don't remember who. So good content for a podcast while we...
Ah, Yuko Takeuchi dies. Japanese actor starred in Miss Sherlock and The Ring.
That wasn't it.
Nope.
Anyways.
No.
It's actually... I don't remember. I thought it was an older guy that was in a smaller part in a famous movie.
That's what I was thinking.
Dang it.
No, I want to see if we can do this.
Okay, this might be way off, but was it the I want to say it was a guy in Poseidon Adventure?
I have no idea. Doesn't sound right. Anyway, not the point. We're going to have to move on because you guys have failed me. Actually, I failed me because I didn't give you guys a heads up at all. I just kind of was like, "Yeah." Dax Shepard, did you guys see that news?
What? He was lying about his sobriety.
Yeah.
Did not see that.
Yeah, I said he was sober for 16 years. Well, so the thing that I thought was interesting about that is he said he relapsed, obviously, at some point. But he said he had been sober for 16 years, but he was lying, and he's only been sober for about 7 days. So did he relapse right then and there, or was he lying about the 16 years the whole time?
I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. It's good that he can openly talk about it and admit it and work through it.
Yeah.
I imagine maybe not, but I imagine a lot of people in Hollywood have some sort of substance abuse issues.
Well, I mean,
you hear about it a lot, and if you start at an early age and all of the crap that you have to go through on a daily basis.
For sure. And actually, I was talking about this with some people at work. They were like, well, all those Hollywood people are just crazy. And I was like, okay, but for every Macaulay Culkin there's like a Ryan Gosling who grew up and he's not crazy. I mean,
that we know of.
Yeah. The Goosling might be a little cuckoo, but you get what I'm saying. Like for every Macaulay Culkin and for every Miley Cyrus, there's equal and opposite.
Yeah.
You know,
Mike, the one, this week was, Gale Sayers, NFL.
Not a movie. Well,
former running back, but, yeah, that's the only one I could find that was this the week. I think the other ones have been passed.
Okay. Yeah, also, it's a brief note on the podcast. Sorry, we've been missing every other week. It's just life been getting in the way. So, anyway, is there any movie news or anything? I feel like this is a slow start to our episodes. Usually we have a lot more energy. Thanks.
Everything's been early. There are a few good releases. I don't know if I talked about it last time, but I wanted to plug an Amazon original called Blow the Man Down.
That's a
good movie. I said it was like a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, and I had no interest in it, but I was like, you know what? With a score like that, I kind of have to give it a shot.
Right.
And it, I liked it a lot. It reminded me of like a Coen Brothers earlier work where it's like one of those thrillers that somebody gets into a situation that they try to get out of, but dig themselves deeper.
Sure.
I recommend it. It's like an hour and a half. It goes by very quickly. It's a very good movie. Free to stream if you've got Amazon Prime. So definitely worth it.
Does it star anyone that we would know?
No. And that's why I was a little hesitant. I think it's I don't want to be wrong here, but let me check. I think it was a first time feature. But maybe that's not right. It had nobody in it that I recognized, to be honest. So
not even like,
not even a small bit part of supporting actor, actress.
Interesting.
I didn't recognize anybody, the directors, the writers, the cinematographers. It's two female co-directors. Looks like it wasn't their first feature. Yeah, it was. Everything else was a short. And so it was their first feature. I thought it was pretty good. Very good. Worth a watch. So I thought I'd plug that. It didn't seem like it's getting much advertising, or you don't see it. It's not like it's there. Usually Amazon, when they release an original, they plaster it all over their front page when you log into Prime.
Every time you you log in or start something, there's like a little ad for it. It's like, come on.
Yep.
Come on.
So Steve, yeah, definitely worth it.
Steve, have you seen anything new lately?
I mean, I haven't been on for like a month because I've been working and stuff. So I've watched a lot of movies. Can't say I've watched anything good, really.
Oh, wait. You and I both watched...
Get Duked.
Yes.
That was actually a very fun movie.
Yes.
So Get Duked. There's this, I guess, a challenge called... It's the Duke of... I can't think of it. But it's like a... something they did for teenagers where they just sent these kids out to like do teamwork and this and that. And it's three, I want to say British kids just traveling, or sorry, four traveling the country, trying to do these things. And they kind of,
it's a blast. Oh, yeah. It's like this kind of mix of, it almost reminded me of like an Edgar Wright type of thing where it's this mix of hip hop music and editing along with what's going on. And then it's this thriller of these kids being essentially hunted, but they're so dumb in the way they handle it, but it's hilarious. And then you got these bumbling police officers who have to put aside their top priority of a bread thief to now capture these. Yeah, it's a blast of a movie.
It kind of has like this Hot Fuzz kind of a funniness, but it doesn't ever hit on that level. But I think it's still a for me at least a top five movie for this year.
Oh, definitely for me. It's another Amazon original, so it's free to stream if you've got Prime.
So I'm gonna run down these movies that I've seen.
Yeah, do it.
So some weekends I let Carrie pick movies, and the best one that she picked was a movie called Love Guaranteed. It has Damon Wayans Jr. in it.
Oh, boy.
It's actually pretty funny. He's like sues a Tinder because they guaranteed that you would find love within so many dates. Then it goes downhill from that. The Binge. So The Binge is a country that doesn't do alcohol except for one night of the year.
Oh, I saw that. Who's with the
Vince Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty bad.
It's like a play on The Purge.
Yeah. Movie called Hooking Up. It has just don't see it. It's bad. And then I was looking for a horror movie to watch. A movie called Extraordinary. It has not Will Forte. One of the Wills, not the one that plays Batman.
Yeah, Will Forte.
Will Forte. So it's a decent movie, but then it just kind of breaks down the horror movie. So pretty much Get Duked was the best movie I've seen in like 3 weeks.
Has anybody seen yet? Enola Holmes, the movie on Netflix about the daughter of Sherlock Holmes.
No, I haven't watched.
Looks pretty good. It's Millie Bobby Brown, who, and I don't watch that. I can't remember the name of the show with the monsters and the
Godzilla.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, it's got her as Sherlock Holmes' daughter, and she's trying to solve a case with Henry Cavill as Sherlock Holmes.
Nice.
Trying to find her missing mom. So I think I'll probably be watching that tonight.
Might have to check that one out. And
the,
I also
the trailer's
did,
fun.
I did want to say that I did get back on my marathon of Avengers movies.
Nice.
Labor Day weekend, we watched Iron Man 2, Incredible Hulk, Thor and the Avengers.
So what are you doing? Chronological?
Yeah. So how they, so the first movie was Captain America, the first
Avengers. So how they fit in the actual timeline, not when they were released.
Yeah. And then Captain Marvel was second. And then the ones I just read off. So
it's good tie-in because I was ready to pass up little British Spider-Man's career because of how silly little British Spider-Man was in Spider-Man.
So
he was pretty good in this one.
So once again, Iron Man is a fantastic movie.
Oh, definitely that first one.
I mean, just watching that one and how they set up everything and the story and. Robert Downey Jr. was the perfect casting for that. Out of
and
all
to think back on how much hinged on that movie.
Oh, yeah.
How that kickstarted the entire 20-whatever movie series or franchise, whatever you want to call it. But they nailed, you know, Jon Favreau and the writing and the comedy and the casting. And they nailed it.
So one thing, so the Incredible Hulk is kind of like the redheaded stepchild of the MCU. And I don't really remember it watching. I think I saw it in theaters when it first came out, but
is that the Ed Norton one?
Yeah, that's it's just a bad movie. The writing, the directing, Edward Norton's not very good in it. Sorry, Mike.
All right. He's my favorite actor. You know,
him and Jimmy Tatro, they fight over that top spot for Mike.
But the last thing I'll say is, watching the Avengers, the first Avengers movie, that I forgot how much fun that movie was. And for me, I think some of the movies start to go downhill after that because not saying there's bad movies after that, but the Avengers was when they started hitting the point where of they're trying to tie in all these different
characters
and
they
have so many characters.
When at the time the Avengers and the Marvel movies in general still felt fresh.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they became much of more of the same.
Oh yeah. Mike, have you seen anything lately?
I just wanted to go back real quick. I know that we make jokes about Jimmy Tatro and Edward Norton. One of the guys I used to work with he legitimately said this. He's like, my favorite actor's Mike Epps. It wasn't Mike Epps, it was the other Epps. That's like not Mike Epps.
Omar Epps?
Maybe. And it's like
Omar Epps is from like House.
Yeah. And it's like, yo, why do you he what?
That's a very
right.
I mean, he was on
specific
House.
Specific choice.
Oh yeah. and people would know him from Love and Basketball, but
yeah,
that's an interesting choice.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, at least Jimmy Tatro is doing something. Isn't Jimmy Tatro?
I'd give him Omar Epps before.
What did I send? I mean, it's apparently so forgettable that I've already forgotten, but I sent a preview, a trailer of a movie that he's in that's coming out. And now
was it Rumble?
No, it was The Wolf of Snow Hollow.
Yep.
A movie about a...
That does look interesting, though.
Yeah, kind of a dark comedy. I think I'll watch that one for sure.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude, Jimmy Tatro is underrated.
No, I'm not watching it because of Jimmy Tatro. I'm watching it because it's Jim Cummings and Robert Forster, who people would know.
Jimmy Tatro, all right.
And because of Jimmy Tatro's talents.
Yep, thank you.
So, quick question. It's my pick next week.
Yeah.
I'm picking a horror movie for
technically October.
I think we have to. Yeah.
Okay. I will have to check out some movies.
Yeah, let's plug the podcast. Guys, every October we do horror movies. And it's probably our most viewed.
It is our most popular. We get a lot of audience input. So start sending your requests in for horror movies.
Send your requests in. We have a few in the log already, but please get your requests for horror movie October in. And I know that we talked about like adding some for the last theme. I don't even remember what the last theme was. I think it was a listener request probably. But let's try to get some horror movies through November. You know, just fit with the 2020 theme.
The last one we did was the streaming.
That's right, movies to stream. Which I mean, this entire summer, let's be real.
So get your requests in, because I've seen multiple websites, Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, they're all adding a bunch of
horror movies,
and I guess AMC is doing like a Fear Fest. Like, I looked at the list of movies, there was like 200 movies that AMC is doing within this next month. So if you want it to be watched, let us know.
Yeah, please do. Again, moviereviewcrew.com. Also, going back, Steve, the only thing I have seen lately is we finished Atlanta. I thought there was 3 seasons, but there's only 2 seasons on Hulu. And dude, I'm telling you, it's not a comedy, but it's a half hour dramedy. It's very unique. It's very worth watching. I've played it several times now.
But the good thing with Hulu is if there's a new episode, it becomes immediately available the next day. So unlike Netflix, which you have to wait for the whole season to pop out.
Mm-hmm. Well, but Netflix might be starting to go towards that style, because I think they're testing the waters, because they just released the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
And they're releasing
it. We got so excited. Dude, my wife and I, we clicked on it and it's only one episode.
Yep. That's funny. That's funny. All right. Are we ready to move into The Devil All the Time? Today's
review. Yep. Let's do it.
All right. The Devil All the Time's today's review. It's a 2020 film. It was just released onto Netflix, correct?
Yeah. Two weeks ago.
Okay. Rated R, 2 hours and 20 minutes long, crime drama thriller film. Sinister characters converge around a young man devoted to protecting those he loves in a post-war backwoods town teeming with corruption and brutality. Written and directed by Antonio Campos, also written by his brother, I believe, Paulo Campos.
I would have to assume it's some sort of relationship.
Well, I mean, could be his lover.
Could be.
His husband, you know, just saying. Or maybe it's just his wife with a really
masculine name. Yep. Mm-hmm. Definitely, exactly. That's it.
Yep. Starring Bill Skarsgård, Tom Holland, or as Aaron put it, British Spider-Man?
Little British Spider-Man.
Right.
Yep. Actually, because he was actually young enough to play the character, unlike 50-year-old Tobey Maguire or whatever the heck he was when he played him.
Yep. Also starring Haley Bennett, Sebastian Stan, Riley Keough, Jason Clark,
Harry Melling, Robert Pattinson.
Harry Melling, Robert Pattinson.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
And I say pretty much it, but that's a pretty long list of people that you would recognize.
Oh, for sure.
Did you say Sebastian Stan?
Yep. Yep.
I did not recognize him, by the way.
Oh, yeah, with his haircut?
Dude, I didn't either.
And he's a little chunkier in this movie, because wasn't he?
He's Bucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I legitimately was like halfway through the movie, and I was like, what? This cop, like, this is a lot of star power. And this cop, I've never seen him in anything. How is he?
They don't really show his face really well until about halfway through it. But yeah, it doesn't really look like Sebastian Stan really until about halfway through.
The film on Rotten Tomatoes gets a 65% from critics, giving it a score of 6.3 out of 10, an audience score, however, of 82%, giving it a 4 out of 5.
Whoa.
So considerably higher audience score. The critics' consensus, The Devil All the Time's descent into darkness can be harrowing to the point of punishment, but it's offset by strong work from a stellar cast.
That's a pretty big difference in scores there. Almost a 2-point difference.
Yeah, it is. Aaron, you picked it. Why'd you pick it?
Well, I didn't know. I mean, honestly, I had no idea what any of it was about. I'd never read the book. I saw just one trailer about it when Netflix was, before it was released, they had the trailer on their kind of home screen or whatever you want to call it. So, honestly, I was attracted to the tone of the trailer and all of the star power, and obviously Robert Pattinson's quickly rising in the ranks of my favorite actors.
The Pattinsons?
Yeah, the Pattinsons. Yes.
Are we going to do that with every actor that has a hot streak? Yeah.
I mean, we can't really call it a renaissance. His career, I mean, with Matthew McConaughey, his career was in the dumps. He was doing awful rom-coms, and then he turned it around, and then...
Yeah, and then Shy kind of hit his, you know, drugs and alcohol. But Pattinson kind of, to put it, Twilight probably wasn't the best movie for him to start off as.
No, I think the opposite. I think he did it right, because I don't want to give him too much credit if it wasn't the way he planned it, but I feel like he got the Twilight gig, which just launched him into stardom. People knew who he was. And then it's like there was a concerted effort to shed that teen movie image.
Yeah.
Because then he started doing like these little smaller indie movies and trying to prove he can act. And it worked.
I'll be honest, though. I don't think he, quote unquote, planned anything. Like, I think, and I don't think any actor plans anything. I think you're just kind of like, sure.
Well, no, but he had to have had offers, excuse me, for bigger things than what he did after the Twilight series. Unless people saw how terrible the Twilight movies were and decided he's not very good.
I think it's that one, because I think people saw the Twilight series and were kind of
want to. We say that, but who's it? Kristen Stewart, is that the girl in Twilight?
Sure.
She went on to do the Huntsman movies, which are huge, big budget movies. I mean, I'm sure he had offers that he had to have turned down to try to shed the image of.
If it was his plan, I think he did it right. He was able to prove that he can act. I mean, I haven't seen as many movies as you have with him, but I've seen The High Life. I saw The Lighthouse and this, and he's pretty dang good.
Yep, he was in the movie Good Time, which was, he carried that movie. That was fantastic. The movie's not fantastic. His acting was fantastic. We did The Rover. He was very good in that. I mean, I think he did a good job of picking and choosing his roles to prove that he's more than just the Twilight actor.
No, okay.
And obviously now he's in Tenet, which is a huge movie, and The Batman. So... He did something right.
Yeah, okay, but two things about this. Why do we keep casting Brits as Batman? You have James Bond for that. Do your thing.
I mean, I don't care who they cast as long as he can act.
I know, but also, he might not have had bigger roles brought to him at that point. Because
it could be. I said I don't want to give him too much credit because I don't know what happened.
But here, I know no one does. We're speculating 100%. But think about this, like Daniel Radcliffe, eight movie series or whatever.
Sure.
Didn't get a whole lot of love. Elijah Wood, same problem. You know what I mean? Like Elijah Wood go straight to FX, which I mean that's a great. It's one of the I think better TV networks to go to. But if you're in a big series, I think you're kind of typecasted. There's few and far that break off of that, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I was going to say. Daniel Radcliffe, I mean, eight movies is Harry Potter. You're typecasted for that.
Right.
So Twilight, he could have been typecasted as the pretty boy vampire. I mean,
yep. And honestly, I mean, those Twilight movies are not a shining example of anyone's abilities that was involved with that. I mean, nobody involved with those movies should have had any career after that, but somehow even Kristen Stewart now is getting accolades for the indie movies that she's doing and the performances in
there. Dude, and my boy T. Lautner, third favorite actor.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Lil Pete.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, he went on to do big things in that movie.
Oh my god, that movie! Oh, I saw Ross, I was in Rain or whatever.
What a good character,
without a doubt. Okay, so let's. I also want to talk about little British Spidey Man in this. Have you guys seen the Hunger Games series?
No,
I've seen the first one.
Dude, doesn't Tom Holland in this movie look like PETA, which is like Josh Hutcherson or whatever the hell his name is?
Hold on, let me look this up.
Yeah, dude, I swear to God, they look
similar.
Yeah, there were plenty of times throughout this movie where I was like, that dude's like the same dude. Big old broad chin, hair similar, sweat back. Yeah. But anyway, so the little British Spider-Man is just a recasting of Josh Hutcherson 10 years later, basically.
Well, and to be honest, he was the one thing that I was a little skeptical about, because he was top billing. And I was worried about his abilities. He was fine as Spider-Man. He was a good casting choice. I didn't like the movie, the Spider-Man movie. I didn't even see the second one, but Tom Holland proved to me that he's got some abilities. In this movie, he did a good job with, it wasn't like a super deep role, but he was very good in it.
He was able to show you that he has range instead of just playing Spider-Man. Definitely, the acting in this movie is fantastic. Skarsgård in it for 20, 30 minutes is really good.
Yeah.
Holland and Pattinson are fantastic. Even in some of the smaller characters, Riley Keough's good. Jason Clark's good.
Harry Melling was very good.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the preacher, the spider preacher? Yeah.
The original one.
Yeah,
he's very good.
Really good. Don't pass up Jason Clark, though. I think he was really good in this movie.
Jason Clark's always good. I think he's hardly ever a leading man, but he's always good. Always very good.
God, he was in Terminator Genesis.
Jason Clark's in a lot of movies.
Got to pay them bills.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what did you? Okay, we talked. What was your first thoughts of this movie? I don't think we really talked about that yet.
No, I think the consensus hit it right on the head, where it's the movie is, I don't want to say saved, that's kind of strong, but it's carried by the performances of the actors, because the story is kind of It's hard to get through 2 hours and 20 minutes of just awful people doing awful things. I mean, my wife didn't even get through the movie. She just didn't want to watch the end of it, because it's just one bad thing after another. And I guess that's kind of the point. And then it's these people using religion to justify doing terrible things. And I appreciated the attempt at connecting these people, but it did kind of seem like multiple disjointed stories forced into some sort of connection.
Yeah.
But I still did like the movie. I didn't mind the slowness, and it did kind of drag a little bit, but I think the performances from everybody, and there's enough different interesting characters that I was interested throughout.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm with Aaron on this. I thought it was a good movie, but there's certain points of this story that lacked. It just kind of seemed like he was just trying to pull all these bad things and try to push them into one, put them around little British Spider-Man, and try to make it whole. But for the most, I think it missed what it was trying to do.
Yeah, I agree. It feels almost too circumstantial. And in hindsight, after watching this and thinking about it for about a week, you know what this movie really reminds me of? Is The Place Beyond the Pines.
Yeah, yes. Right. Yes, because that, again, that's two separate generations and the effects of one on the other. And
yep.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think, just like The Place Beyond the Pines, I think the first quarter of that movie, or the first third, whatever you want to talk about it, is much better than the second part, the latter parts of
Place Beyond the Pines. Honestly, I liked both equally in this movie. The parts, because I liked, and I can't remember the kid's name, Arvin.
Yep.
I liked Arvin with his dad and the circumstances with his mom and how his dad descended into this religious paranoia and trying to save his wife. And it's a good backstory to what we get with adult Arvin. And I liked that story with Arvin and his, quote, sister and the new preacher. And I just think it kind of the serial killer couple and the Sebastian Stan's cop character and that whole side story, I just didn't think fit very well. I think it was just an excuse for the confrontation toward the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the two generations and how one affected the other and how the violence carried through. It was just, some of it didn't fit. And maybe the book did a better job of it, but it seemed like square peg in a round hole type of situation where it just didn't work.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, like, I guess one of the reasons why I didn't like this movie is I couldn't relate to a lot of the characters because, like, there's a lot of effed up stuff going on in a lot of capacities.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, I just feel like I'm getting shown this to, like, torture me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, even if you wanted to root for, like, a bad guy in this movie, let's say, who the hell are you going to do it? Like, the couple that has some weird sex fetish and murders people? Like, or are you going to, I don't know. It's just the cop that's the crooked cop. Or,
Well, it takes that to an extreme, but the person you're supposed to latch on to as the person to, quote, root for, like you said, is Tom Holland's character. Well, because right. He's surrounded by all this awful, and obviously it's an exaggeration of it, but people, that's like how people feel. And you look at the way the world is today, it's like you're just trying to get by and every possible bad thing is happening around you and you just can't escape it.
Yeah, no, I get that. I just, man, dude, it was a rough slog.
I told you my wife couldn't even finish it, so I get it. It's a movie. It's like kind of at some point in the movie, you just say, what's the point?
Yeah.
Because it is interesting. You have all these interesting characters and all these interesting motivations. And I think that's what it comes down to is what's the point of it all?
Yeah, and to add on to the negativity of everything, this movie is 2 hours and 18 minutes, and there's literally no relief,
dude,
at any time. Yeah. It's literally just, this bad thing happens, his mom dies, his dad dies, his dog dies, this happens. It's just, dude, like one the after
sister's
the other.
Mom dies, and yeah. Then, oh my gosh. And honestly, I got caught off guard when, and we're going to get into some big time spoilers, because we're going to start talking about the story here. Yep. But so, shut it off if you don't want spoilers. So here we go.
Well,
I was caught off guard.
Real quick. If they haven't seen the movie yet, spoilers, do you recommend they see it?
Yes. Because enough people online have said they liked it. It's a 4 out of 5 on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a 7+ on IMDb.
I think the acting is good enough that it's worth watching, but it's not a movie you're going to watch a second time.
I think this is a movie you can skip 100%.
Really?
Yeah, unless you're big fans of Robert the Pattinson's or Little British Spidey Man, I think this is a movie you can skip 100%.
But I think with how slow the year has been with movies,
I don't care. You have
and it being on Netflix, I think it's one that you can watch, and it's honestly probably one of the better movies of the year, which isn't saying much.
No, but you have 2020 other years to pick a movie from.
I don't think they were making movies for that long, but
you might want to lower that number a little bit.
Okay, 2020 years.
But anyway, I think enough people would, there are going to be a lot of people that won't finish it if they start it. But I mean, sometimes a movie, to me though, sometimes a movie it doesn't have to have this overarching lesson to be learned. Sometimes you can just be interested in watching characters and the way they affect each other.
And look at the audience score. You said, I think it was 80-some percent gave it a 4 out of 5. That's a 4 out of 5. That's a pretty big number.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the audience is really enjoying this movie.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, is,
but I see where you're coming from.
Yeah,
is I can this see a movie it.
I recommend if, yeah. if my I want to put my stamp of approval on it. Hell no.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not gonna go tell people at work, hey, you gotta see this movie. It's great, because then they're gonna be watching it thinking, what a freaking weirdo. Why did he think this was great?
True.
Because I think it's miserable.
I think you would have to say, hey, the acting performances are really good, but this movie is. Even at then, times, dude, really hard to get through.
Even then, like, I guess the demographic of our podcast is probably people who like movies. So maybe on this show, I have to change my stamp of approval. But am I going, like you said, telling people on the streets, like, hear ye, extra.
Hey, mom, check out this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rape and murder and mutilation. Yeah. And yeah, it's right. A blast.
Let's get into spoilers like you were talking, Aaron.
Okay. So the one part... I mean, it's all awful, but the one part that really caught me off guard, maybe because I just kept thinking, no, come on, don't do this, because maybe I was hoping that there was a little bit of a shred of decency in these people.
Sensibility, yeah.
But when the sister who got pregnant,
oh yeah,
with Robert Pattinson, the preacher's baby, decided, and she's a super innocent, super religious person who now has the shame because Pattinson says she's delusional, it's not hers, and he recommends she just get rid of it, which she knows is a sin, and
right,
and then she eventually hangs herself, which I is kind of accidental but yeah. And then Tom Holland's character comes running in, that part got me. It's like, this, there really is no end to the misery in this movie, and that wasn't the end of it.
No, that's so what I'm. That's kept what I'm saying, going. Dude. And that's like not even 3/4 of the way through the film, or I bet it's probably 3/4. But it's like, yeah, God, yeah,
right about.
I'm just no. I don't want to watch. No, I don't want people to watch this.
Yeah, it's. But at the same time, so Robert Pattinson's this despicable preacher character. But I think I could watch that character repeatedly. I mean, it was such a...
Yeah.
I say fun. It wasn't fun. I feel like Pattinson had fun creating the character.
Yeah.
Because it was this kind of shady, awful person with this polished preacher facade. It was a fun character to watch.
I mean, both the preachers in this movie, Harry Melling and Pattinson, were really good in this movie. And were two of the better parts of this movie. But it just shows that both of them were very despicable people.
Well, I think, though, Melling's character was interesting because you see, and the whole time you're thinking, oh, well, what's he going to do? This is terrible. But then you kind of realize his motivations weren't awful. Like, some of the other characters were just bad people doing bad things. He was just truly convinced that he had this power. He didn't hate the woman. He loved her, and he wanted to resurrect her. He thought he had the power of resurrection through the Lord. And after he killed her to prove that he had these powers, you could tell he was devastated. I thought that was an interesting character, and that whole scene was...
Dude, when the narrator talks about how he smells like shit,
the narrator throughout was because it was like this kind of happy-go-lucky tone of narration that completely clashed with what you're seeing on screen.
Everything, yeah. It was pretty great. I think Harry Melling's character was fantastic. The preacher was really. I didn't like Robert Pattinson's preacher, but I really liked Harry Melling's.
Well, yeah, Pattinson's character was just rotten.
Creep.
Like from the first time you see him, and the way he treats the Arvin's mom, I can't remember her name, but it's like he uses her as an example and just completely shames her, and all she did was do her best to, I mean, it's terrible, and you feel bad for these characters.
Yeah.
You feel bad, but then you kind of get Arvin, who's trying to be like this, trying to raise up his grandma and say he probably just wanted it all to himself and this and that, where he's trying to like raise up these other characters, and it's just kind of like you're fighting an uphill battle throughout this whole thing.
That was a great character, and like I said, Tom Holland really surprised me. He was the one, because haven't seen him in anything but Spider-Man, so I was worried. Yeah. I didn't know how he would carry it, and it's a tough movie to carry, but he did well. I'm actually looking forward to his future projects, which is odd, because I didn't know if he would do much more than just being Spider-Man for the next 25 years like Marvel actors do.
Yeah, I mean, very true. This is a little off topic, but between the actors in this film, I mean, Bill Skarsgård, Tom Holland, Sebastian Stan, Riley Keough, Jason Clarke, Haley Bennett, Harry Melling, Robert Pattinson, who are you looking forward to like the rest of their career the most?
That's tough. Riley Keough has done nothing but very interesting things these past few years, and a lot of some of the better horror movies. I don't know if she's going to stick to the genre, but she's done a lot of great things. She was really good in The Lodge, which we saw earlier this year.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see what she does. Robert Pattinson, like I said, he was quickly rising the ranks, but now is he going to be stuck in the Batman role for the next 10, 15 years while they make a trilogy? I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know. It's tough. Skarsgård's good. I mean, I don't know. What else has he done other than the It movies?
He's
not sure.
He's the one I'm probably looking forward to the most, in all honesty.
He was very good in this movie.
Yeah.
And same thing, his scenes were so hard to watch because of what he was doing. But the motivations behind his actions, it's awful. It's heartbreaking. And all he wants to do is save the woman he loves. But it's terrible what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But he was very good in this. And we'll see. I'm going to see what he's done, because I haven't seen him in any. I didn't see the It movies.
He's fantastic as Pennywise.
Yeah, he is.
So if you haven't seen those, I really recommend it. They're long movies, but he's really good in both of them. Mike, you mentioned Jason Clarke. I think we know what Jason Clarke is. He's a very solid supporting actor. Never really been the main man. So if Jason Clarke's in a movie, you know he's going to be solid in it. But I think, like Aaron said, you have the three characters to look forward to. Bill Skarsgård, Robert Pattinson, depending on if he does more movies outside of Batman. And same thing with Tom Holland. He could be really good, depending on if he's doing movies outside of Spider-Man. So,
have any of these actors been nominated? Have they been nominated for any Oscars? I don't think so. I'm trying to go through.
Not that I know of.
Which one do you think, if any, and that's an if any, get nominated for one? First.
Oh, I would have said Pattinson, but now I just don't know. He's not going to get an Oscar nomination for the Batman. That's
just
the way it is.
Willem Dafoe was the only one that got one for The Lighthouse, right?
Yeah, and that's a shame because he was great.
Yeah, there was rumors that they both were going to get a nomination for that movie, but obviously Dafoe only got one. But
yeah.
I'd probably say Pattinson with kind of the line he's been going on.
I would lean toward that. It depends on what he does. I think Skarsgård, people are going to recognize his talent between It and this, and it looks like he's got a few movies coming out very soon. So
I think Riley Keough gets the first Oscar nom, but I think Bill Skarsgård has a better career.
Riley Keough is going to be interesting. I don't know.
Keough depends on if she keeps doing horror movies or not. because, like we've talked about,
it's tougher to get a nomination. Yeah,
that genre is going to be very hard to get a nomination. Even some of the past 2 years, 3 years, mm-hmm. some of the movies that have come out in that genre have been really good and
have not. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's interesting times at the El Royale. We didn't really talk about this. We're getting close on time, but set design was fantastic in this film.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful looking movie.
Yeah, like it makes you feel like it's a backwoods country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think the whole production value, the production side of the movie is all great. Well, the way it looks, the like you said, set design. I liked everything about it except some of the shortcomings of the story.
Dude, actually, some of the special effects were cheesy as hell. Yeah. Like
what?
The dog, I think when it's pinned up, is clearly CGI. And it was like, doesn't look the best. And then I think the war scene at the very beginning, it mostly looked good. But there were some, I think, CGI fire and smoke that I was like.
Speaking of rough scenes, Jesus.
Yeah. Dude. Whole movie, man, it's just a miserable movie.
And that's I'm not
and I like I said, yeah. I didn't know what to expect from it, and it just never got better.
Yeah.
So anyway, we better rate it. Running out of time.
I'll go first. And I'll say Shane's first. Shane wasn't able to. He's driving back from being out of town
in that backwoods country. He wouldn't have visited where this was shot.
Yep. He gave it a 5.5 out of 10. Said looked fantastic and great acting all around, but almost nothing going in terms of a narrative or character development.
I don't quite agree with the character development, but
I think there was some character development, but some of the characters were kind of one hits, I guess.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm gonna give it a 6.25. I think the acting in this movie was really, really good across the board. Like we've said, it's a very pretty movie. Set design, everything was really good. But again, like we've said, this movie is rough. It's one bad thing after another.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there was some relief in this movie, it would be a better score. But for the most part, it's a hard movie to get through.
For sure.
Yeah. And I'm close to it. I'm in a 6.75. It was one I had hoped to really like. Hard to like. It's still interesting. I liked watching all the characters and I loved all the acting in it. So I say 6.75.
Yeah, and I'm lower than all of you. I'm at a 5.25. Which I mean it's
understandable. I mean, I could see where you're coming from.
Yeah. Like I think we talked about it enough on this episode, but set design and quality of the movie is so much better than the story and watchability, in my opinion. So 5.94 is the final score, and that's a C-. So I'll be honest, I think that's a fair score.
And there are going to be a lot of people that might think even less of it.
Yeah, I mean, but according to Rotten Tomatoes, there might be a lot of people who think higher of it. So we will see. So 5.94. Quick game of this or that. This or Crawl?
I never saw it.
Crawl, just because it's shorter.
Yep. This or Bright?
Bright, definitely.
I'd probably watch this.
I think I would too. And I hate saying that.
I mean, Bright was fun at least, though.
Yeah, that's what I was.
And it's got Willie Smith. This or Hitchhiker's Guide?
Ooh.
Jesus.
Hitchhiker's Guide wasn't very good, if I remember right.
I think I'd rather watch this. Hitchhiker's a bad movie.
Yeah, I'd rather watch this, I think. This or The Sugarland Express?
Didn't watch that one.
Never saw that one.
Oh. What are the odds? This or The Dewey Cox Story?
Oh, this.
This.
See, you're saying, after all of these.
That's a bad movie.
And I might have given all these a higher score. I don't know. I'm just saying I think I'd rather watch great acting than a dumb story.
Yeah. This or The Strangers.
Oh, this. See? Oh, yes. Come on.
This or The Village.
The Village. Easy. Easily.
This or Hold the Dark. I don't even remember that one. It wasn't.
That was just ago. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's the Wolf movie with Riley Keough.
I'd probably say Hold the Dark.
Yeah, I might lean toward that too.
That's a slog of a movie as well. Good Lord.
But there's a pretty good scene in that couple.
This or Batman vs. Superman?
This. This is probably actually shorter.
I think it is.
Yeah. This or The Guest?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember much about it. I know what it is. It's that kind of mock 80s thriller slasher, but eh.
This or, God, they're getting so bad. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
The original? I still probably lean toward this.
Yeah, I'd say this.
Last one. This or Black Mass?
This.
This, the acting is much, like Johnny Depp's good, but.
I'd rather watch Black Mass, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Even if it's not shorter. I'd rather, because I think, isn't Jason Clarke in that one too?
Yeah, I think he is.
And there's another pretty good actor. I don't remember his name, but I remember it was the brother, the British dude. I'll think of it because I'm going to search it up. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yep.
And Joel Edgerton. That's who I was thinking of, Joel Edgerton.
Edgerton was in that movie?
Yeah.
I don't remember him in that movie.
So is Kevin Bacon.
Yep, I didn't remember Kevin Bacon. Anyway, it's a 5.94 for The Devil All the Time. Steve, it's your pick next week. Do you have a movie in mind?
No, I didn't know it was my selection, and we just decided that it's going to be...
Right, horror.
Horror movie. I will try to figure it out within a day or two.
All right, sounds good. In the meantime, guys, go to our website, Movie Review Crew. .com. You can request movies right on our homepage. We're doing horror months for the entire month of October and maybe into some of November, so please get your picks in while you can. Anything else, guys?
Nope.
I think that's it.
Someone in the show.
Tell your friends.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Good day, sir. Sir, I said good day.
Yeah. See ya.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This has been
the Movie Review Crew podcast. Remember to find us online on your favorite social media apps and go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
Yeah. Linger, man.
Yeah, totally.
Linger.
Hardcore.